Good evening, everyone. I need to kind of explain about the piece of paper tonight. It kind of has to do with preaching. Usually when we preach, the audience is familiar to quite some extent with what we're dealing with. We may go into some aspect of it or something where we're talking about it, but it's easy to take what we already know and apply what we're hearing to that. Tonight's not going to be like that. We're going to go look at the meaning of unworthy and what that means in taking of the Lord's Supper. This question comes up from time to time, and we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 11 here in just a minute and read that, and you can tell from the language that God uses, the Holy Spirit uses as He gives the Holy Spirit at the Bible, that it's critically important. And in my own study over the years for Fairfax, I came across something that was a tremendous, tremendous help to those people and to me. I've used it for years. And so I'm going to share that with you. The reason for the piece of paper, and there's not a title on there or anything. Whatever you want to put on there, you put on there. It just gives you a place to put some notes that have to do with this or whatever you want to do. But if you want to go back and look at it later, it gives you the verses that you need to go look at it. That's all I'm trying to do. And so I don't want to confuse you at all, and I hope I can keep you with me. But as time goes by, some of that you wonder, well, what was it he said, and how can I use that? And so if that's true, it'll give you a place that you can go back and find this piece of paper and use it. I want to, first of all, tell you what it doesn't mean. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11 right quick, 27 through 29. 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 29. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation unto himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That's scary language. That's very scary language, because if I'm not careful, I don't know, I'm not sure I'm doing that properly. And so that's what I want to share with you tonight, something that may help you to better understand how we spend the time that we use as we take of the Lord's Supper. And so I want to go with, I'm just going to move on down my list of verses here. The second one, I have to kind of explain it. It's one of those things that, to me, it's a verse that impacts what we're talking about, but it really doesn't have much to do with it. It's just kind of a personal thing to me. I like it being there. And so I'll go there with you. In Luke 24, near the end of the book of Luke, the Lord comes across two men. He's already risen from the dead. He's already And these two men are on their way to Emmaus. And as he begins to talk to them and discuss with them the things that are taking place, he asks this. They say, well, do you not know what's going on? And he says, well, what is it that's going on, to get them to explain it to him? And as he talks to them, there's a very interesting thing happens. And I'll just begin reading in about verse 28 and read down through 35, which will help us with what to me is so interesting about this. Verse 28 reads like this: As they drew nigh unto the village where they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in, and he tarried with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, he blessed it, he brake it, and he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture? And they arose in the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And then they told them what things were done in the way and how he was known to them in breaking of bread. Now, what's so interesting to me about that passage is that there's a discussion between Christ and them. And they sit down and Christ breaks bread and gives it to them to eat. And something happened that did not happen in that room. They knew him because of something that happened between heaven and earth. Their eyes were opened and they saw who he was and what he was and who they were talking to. And for the first time, they realized this was Christ. And that is something that came from heaven. It didn't have to do with the room. It didn't have to do with the breaking of bread. That was the emphasis for it. But as you look at it and you see what happened there, you realize something's happening that God's causing that is beyond what these two men are doing and beyond what their capacity is to see Christ. And to me, that's exactly, as we go forward in this, I want you to realize that's exactly what I think we're talking about. When you and I take the Lord's Supper, that is something extremely, extremely special. If you don't have a sense of that tonight before we begin this, I hope by the end of finishing it, you will. Because as you partake of the Lord's Supper, something is happening, and we're going to see that tonight, I hope. Something is happening that's not just in this room. It's not just happening in this building. It's just not happening among us. Something is happening with God and with our lives and with our hope of heaven that goes beyond anything we can understand. And so I hope that as we move forward in this, you'll begin to see that and you can look at that and see the seriousness of it. So I want to move on down then, if you don't mind, to John 6. This is one of the first times, and it's talking about the Lord's Supper. It's talking about the... And I'm going to go to John 6, 53 through 57. John 6, 53 through 57. Now, watch carefully what is Christ talking. He's talking to the Jews. The Jews, therefore, strove among themselves, and they said, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Now, you have to remember, this is the people this is a nation that lives among other nations. They have seen cannibalism. They've seen that. They've seen babies thrown to fires that had to do with worship. They've seen all those things, and it's despicable to them. So as Christ is talking about this, you and I today, we know exactly what he's talking about. We did it this morning, but they don't know. And so as he continues talking, there comes a time when they're going to turn away from him, and many of them are going to leave him. And so as we look at that, that's much of what's happening here. But this is about the Lord's Supper, and that's exactly what Christ is talking about. I want you to sometimes, I just want to say this, sometimes when you're reading in your Bible and you're reading about a subject, like we're talking about the Lord's Supper right now, there will be things that are said that don't fit there. I don't know why that's there. I don't know why it is that God would put that statement right there in that spot at this time. Well, as you keep reading and you find other references to the same thing, you're going to find many of those answers to such questions as that. In other words, you're going to find that these things refer to each other, and one helps to understand the other. And so as I begin reading here, just stay with me a minute. We're going to read about 53 through about 57, okay? And Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now, he's not talking about life as I'm standing before you and breathing tonight. That has nothing to do with whether or not I eat Christ's blood or drink Christ's, eat Christ's flesh and drink Christ's blood. He's talking about spiritual life. He is saying unless you practice that, unless you do that, you can have absolutely no spiritual life within you. It's interesting to me that one of the first things that the devil sees to it, that churches that do not follow the scriptures find their own way of doing things, one of the very first things they drop is baptism. The second thing they drop, which is critically, critically important, just like baptism is this business of the Lord's Supper. Let me keep reading. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life. I will raise him up in the last day, for my flesh is meat indeed. I understand that. I've practiced that today. And my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, he shall live by me. Now, here I go back to the other passage we referred to a minute ago. I said it's just interesting to me. Something's happening between earth and heaven. You and I partake of the Lord's Supper. You and I partake of the emblems that supper's made up of. Something's happening right here that does not have to do with this life. I don't know of any better way of saying it. It has to do with something between you and me and my God and your God. And it has to do with the things that God has purposed for the church, the things he put in place for a certain reason. And that's exactly what we're looking at tonight. Hope we can get an appreciation for. Okay. Now, I'm going to move on down. I'm going to go back to 1 Corinthians 11 right now. And I want to has to do also with the Lord's Supper. Now, remember as we go, if you do not partake of God Christ's blood and Christ's body, you cannot have any spiritual life within you. Don't lose that. That means exactly what it says. And the spiritual life is dependent on that. And we're going to see as we go, you're going to see. Let me just take me, okay? As I look at the Lord's Supper and I look at me and I look at my practice of what God has given me to do, there is something that has to do with that has to do with me and God. I don't understand it. It's not something that I can put my finger on, I can change, I can adapt or I can adjust. There's nothing about it I can. While I am partaking of Christ's blood and Christ's body, God is seeing to it that something happens that otherwise would not happen. It's not something I can see. And so I want you to watch as we go. We're going to talk about Christians being ill. We're going to talk about Christians that aren't what they should be, the Christians that can't grow. We're going to talk about different kinds of things that happen among Christians. And we're going to find that in that discussion that we're looking at, it's a discussion that has to do with the Lord's Supper. Okay? And so go back with me then to 1 Corinthians 11. And I'm going to start reading with about verse 25 through 32. And I want you to watch very carefully the language here. Okay? 25 through 32. After the same manner also. Now, I think all of you are familiar with this passage, with this chapter. Up to this time, Paul has explained to them exactly what it was in terms of the physical taking of the Lord's Supper, what he was given. He said, God gave me, or Christ gave me. As a matter of fact, let me just go back and read that. Let's just read it right quick. I'll start in verse 23. So you understand, we're talking about the Lord's Supper. And throughout the, down to the end of this chapter, that's exactly what we're talking about. And the subject doesn't change. I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it. And he said, take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, and he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink, eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. As we partake of the Lord's Supper, those verses right there are what we usually have in mind. When I think about where I need to be thinking about the body and the death of the Lord and the importance of that to me, that's true. That's absolutely true. And we're not taking anything away from that. We're just going to look into it a little bit more deeply. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now watch very carefully this next phrase. Let a man examine himself. That's new, isn't it? Let a man examine himself. The person who's taking of it, let him examine himself. Okay, now we're going to go into a discussion of that. Okay. And let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you. Now, what's he talking about? I have failed to examine myself. I have failed to look at myself. I have failed to look at me. And because I have failed to look at me, I am weak and I am sickly where I would not otherwise be. We're going to come back to this in a minute. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause many are weakly and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, watch carefully what's happening here. I'm looking at myself while I take of the Lord's Supper, and I'm judging myself. Now, that's critically important. That's what I do while I'm doing it. I'm doing it in memory of Christ. I'm taking those things in memory of his death, and I'm remembering his death as I do it. But what I am actually doing with the time that I have, I am looking at myself, and I'm seeing whether or not this is what the unworthy has to do with. I'm looking at whether or not I am being what I should be. And if I find faults there, let me tell you a little story. A few weeks ago, we were trying to check in and find a motel for Debbie to stay in while I had my surgery. It was 12 o'clock at night. I was tired. My back was hurting. And you're not just real pleasant when you're like that. Deb's pretty good at putting up with me, but the fella at the motel, 12 o'clock at night, I got out of the shower, and I had stood in 3 inches of water while I took a shower, and I was upset about that. Then I tried to use the toilet, and that wouldn't work. Now, I'm not in a real good mood. I'm just not in a good mood, that's all. So I went down to his office, and he said, well, I'll just, here, take this key, and you go up and check that room up there on 3. I said, no, I'm not going anywhere. I said, it's 12 o'clock at night. There's nobody here. You lock that door. You're going to go up there with me, and we're going to check that room together. Now, the next time I took the Lord's Supper, I asked myself, I said, now, John, what have I done the last week? How have I been? Have I acted like Christ would have acted? Would Christ have made that man leave that desk and his responsibilities and all those things and go with him to the third floor to look in a toilet? And it came to my decision in my mind was he would not have. He just wouldn't have. He would have gone on up there. That's exactly what we're talking about. And we're talking about doing every single solitary week of my life, looking at the last week of my life. I did this last Sunday. My life is set up in such a way that I will do it every Sunday. I will look back at my life over the last 7 days I have lived, and I will see how many times I find something. I may find something in the front of my Bible here. This is an old Bible falling apart, and I don't get to carry it very much. But in the front of it, there's a note here. It's a pink note that's just stuck in the front. I'll read it to you. Boy, if that's what somebody's like, that likes to read his Bible a lot, I don't want nothing to do with that. And you know who that was written to? That was written to me. That was written after I took the Lord's Supper one Sunday morning. And somebody had asked me a question, and I had been sharp with them about it. We all do that from time to time, but no excuse for it. And that stays in that Bible, and I remember that. And one of the things that happens when you begin to apply this and realize what it's talking about, we'll get back to it in just a minute. One of the things that this deals with is that when you begin to look at your life that way, you know exactly what happened to you this last week. And before very many weeks, those things stand out to you from the time they happen. And when you get to the Lord's Supper on Sunday, it's very easy to deal with them because they're already there. They're already in your mind. They're already things that are standing out to you that you need to deal with as you partake of the Lord's Supper. That's exactly what God gave it to us for. Okay, let me get back to our reading. All right. For this cause many are sick and sleep among you. If we would judge ourselves, that's what we're doing. That's why we look at ourselves. We are also looking at Christ. And so I'm seeing my life. I'm looking at the way I acted that night at midnight in regard to what Christ went through for me on that cross. Now, did he act like I acted? No, he did not act like I acted. Shameful, but he didn't. And I realize exactly what it is he's asking of me. And when I go back and I look at my week that way, and I realize that week after week after week after week, my life is designed in such a way that it is in one week sections. And every week of my life, as the next week starts, I look back at the last week, and I see what it was that I did that week, and what was the things that I did that may not have been in keeping with God's will. And I go forward from there. And I determine right then and there, just like you see on that little note, I determine right then and there that won't happen to me again, and I won't fall into that trap again. I'll be more careful about that, okay? All right, verse 30. Many are weakly and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So what's happening is I'm looking at myself. I'm finding my faults, and I'm correcting them before the Lord has to. Now, they're going to be corrected. He's going to make an effort to correct them. He does not want me to lose my soul. But if I don't look for these things, if I'm not doing it myself, he's going to do it, okay? So when we're judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. If I didn't judge myself, as he told me to, weekly, he's going to take care of it over time. We're going to deal with it. It's not going to go undealt with. So that I can go to heaven when this life is over. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry for one another. And that's, of course, another commandment. But as you look at this, that's exactly what it's talking about. And it's talking about what you and I are to do, okay? And we've talked about, and unless I'm taking of the Lord's body and the Lord's blood, I can have no spiritual life within me. Well, why? Because I'm not doing the things I need to be doing that God placed in the church for me to do as I go and correct myself each and every week of my life. And week after week after week after week, I come closer to Christ because of the effort on my part and the things that God has given me to do in terms of that. Okay, we have one more verse here. Okay, Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 14. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 14. Wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. That's exactly what we've been talking about, isn't it? It is precisely what he's describing. And the things that he has done in our lives, set up in the church for us, that will help us to accomplish that very thing. The things that are useless, the things that don't help me go to heaven, I'm going to set those things aside. I realize what they are, and I'm going to set them aside, and I'm going to do what I should do to go to heaven and please God. Okay? Let me keep reading. Looking unto Jesus, okay, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You've not yet resisted unto blood. And that's exactly what you're aware of in the Lord's Supper. I am watching him. I'm watching his body as he died on that cross. I'm seeing the blood flow. I'm seeing the body broken. And as I look at that, I have not reached that point. Why in the world did I make the stupid little silly mistakes that I made this last week? Why did I do that? It's not on a par with Christ. I'm not being asked to do what he was asked to do for me. It's silliness. And that's exactly what this shows us. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And we have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you're rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son that he receives. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Just answer it in your mind. When it gets to this point and God's dealing with it this way, what's already happened? I let it get there, didn't I? Myself. I could have taken care of it. And he assigned something that helped me to do that and take care of that, okay? He gave me a way to do that. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son he receives. So if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is it whom the Father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh that corrected us. We gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, so that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So lift up your hands which hang down, your feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. It's a remarkable thing, isn't it, when you stop and think about it. Now, I want you to go somewhere with me. I want you to go back with me to Acts 20 and 7 for just a minute. Acts 20 and 7. And this is a special day. Reads like this. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached to them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. They came together to break bread. Now, there's a lot of things they did while they were together. They sang. They had prayers. They listened to Paul preach to the next morning. But they came together for one purpose. They came together to break bread. Now, why was that so critical to them? It had to do with whether or not they went to heaven. That's what it had to do with. And it's one place in their lives where as they did that, God touched their lives. And he carried them farther than they otherwise could have gone. And it's something he had built within the structure of the church itself and the things that he designed for the church. And those people, the people we're talking about that came together the first day of the week to break bread, those people, every single solitary, every one, I've got to stay back over here. I'm going to get away from this thing. I'm bad about that. Didn't used to use one of these. As they looked at what it was that they were doing and what was important, every week of their life, every week of their life, they came together and they looked at this last week, that one week, just that one week. They had the week before that they had looked at last Sunday. And they looked at that one week, and they looked at that week, and they saw whether or not they had pleased Christ in the things they did that week. And they dealt with it that day. And they went home with the realization of the things that I need to work on this coming week as I go through this week to be sure that I'm pleasing to Christ as I live my life. I'm not going to tell you to make all the difference in the world. I think God's already told you that. By the nature of the language and the power he uses and the words he used to help us understand how important this is, how critically important it is. And so as we look at it, we need to realize what it is that we're talking about. This is something that's designed for us. When we come together to take the Lord's Supper, We're remembering the death, the body, the burial of Jesus Christ. We're remembering his death and his resurrection. We're remembering all those things that are so critical to us and the hope that we have. But what we are looking at, while we do that, we are looking at ourselves. And God says, unless you do that, you cannot have any spiritual life in you. You watch people as they meet with the saints, they take the Lord's Supper for years and years and years, and at the age of 60, 65, 70, they just seemingly wander away. I tell you one thing, it's wrong, why there's sickness and death there. Because of what Paul's talking about. Where they could have corrected themselves and it would have made all the difference in their lives to help them understand who Christ is and what I need to be. I haven't suffered like he did. I made a lot of stupid mistakes this last week, but there's no reason for it because he shed blood. And I have to look at me. And that's what that is exactly what the Lord's Supper is. That's why I want you to have this, and you put notes on it anywhere you want to. Put a title on it of some sort to help you remember what it is. But as you think about that, go back once in a while and reread these verses and look at them again and realize what it is he's putting together and what it is he's put in place for us and how important it is and why it is that Christians are sickly, Christians are ill, Christians do not understand the importance of what they have in their hand because they fail to do what God has asked us to do. I hope it helps you. I really do. That was the intent of tonight's lesson, to be something that you could kind of get a hold of and say, that makes sense. I can do that. And now I know what to do with the time that I spend. Because so often that question comes up. What does it mean when it says I'm being unworthy? It simply means I'm not looking at myself. I'm not looking at me and me in relation to Jesus Christ who's on that cross and died for me. And may God help all of us to do better, to be better, to use the things that he's designed for us to be what we should be and come ever closer to Him, that after this life is over, there will be a home for each and every one of us in heaven. Thank you so much for your patience. And I do want to say that it was for some of the men of the congregation that asked me to preach tonight, that was a jump of faith on their part, and I appreciate it. I really do. I know this could have worked out some other way. I could have done part of this laying on the floor, you know. And so we're glad we didn't have to do that. But I hope all of you can learn something from this, and I hope that you'll realize the importance of what it is we do. There's something that happens in the Lord's Supper that doesn't happen on earth. And when we understand that and begin to understand it and what God designed for us, we can, it even changes what He is going to deal with as far as helping us to learn, because we've dealt with some of it, okay? Thank you so very much. And let's all stand as we sing together.